I'm going to talk a little bit today about Azure IoT Suite, about Cortana Analytics Suite, in the broader context of IoT solutions all up. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of really cool stuff going on, and there's a lot of crazy talk going on. And part of the challenge right now with where IoT is to be able to separate what's real from what's crazy. Right? There are some people talking about IoT that I would just as soon their companies locked them in the closet and left them there, because they're creating a lot of, like, you know, magic unicorn scenarios. But there is really cool stuff too. And part of the reason that it's exciting right now is that we're kind of at one of those inflection points. The planets have sort of aligned here, because a couple of years ago, you could build things that looked a lot like IoT solutions, but the challenge was they were really expensive. The technologies had not matured. The customers weren't quite ready. The cost structure didn't really make sense. Now we're looking at incredibly inexpensive devices, incredibly expensive radios, the ability to deal with a lot of data, and kind of, you know, it's this planetary alignment thing where you can do things right now that you couldn't do a couple of years ago. When I look at the industry, it's a really exciting time to be working on this, because really neat stuff is happening. 2 years from now, it'll be too late for a lot of it, but right now, it's really kind of a magic moment. And so there are some customers that are out fairly far in advance on this that are doing things today that are really changing their businesses. And I'll talk a little bit about the progression that we see customers taking, where they start with trying to run their existing business more efficiently. And then from there, they build to transform scenarios that are more transforming. But at a really high level, what's different is with IoT, you can do analysis and you can integrate business processes in real time based on what people are really doing. And in a lot of industries, the historical model has been, I gather a bunch of data somehow or other, and then I process it and I make decisions in bulk. I can't really make them locally. So, you know, my car insurance rate might be the same as some other guy who's about my age and has the same sort of car. And there might be almost nothing that's similar about the way we drive. But we get the same rate because somebody mashed some macro level statistics and said, you know, white dudes in Redmond, Washington who drive this kind of car, this is the rate. We see this everywhere in retail. Like, how do you think about the way your product flows through the customer? How do you get something that looks more custom, more personal? How do you increase that level of customer intimacy? So people then come to IoT, and they kind of look at it, and this is often the first reaction when somebody comes to Redmond. They're like, what the heck is IoT? How do I think about it? There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of articles. There's a lot of hype. But how do I think about what's real to my business? How do we get started? And so a lot of what we did with IoT Suite was try to make it much easier and much quicker for people to get to the point where they have something going and they can understand what's possible, they can see what's real, and they can see what they can do. So if you switch over to the Cortana side of this, again, it's how you use data to run your business better. So when we think about, you know, things like the personal relationship with a customer, with how you provide something that's really valuable. Like, I was in Paris over the weekend, and I have been around the earth long enough, and I have bought enough stuff. Theoretically, somebody in Paris should have been able to figure out what I would want, right? If you just looked at, like, if they had access to my records of restaurants and that I eat at, somebody could have been going, yeah, we have just the thing. You're going to love it. We're going to make money. Everybody's going to be happy. Instead, I'm at the concierge, and he's going, oh my God, another American, right? And so he gave me the standard American package, and it took me like the third day there to get what I really wanted, because I was getting the standard American package instead of the actually what I do, you know, what I want package. So This happens in healthcare. You go to the doctor. The doctor says, yes, you're sick. Here's some medicine. 2 weeks later, you're still sick. You come back. You say to the doctor, hey, I'm still sick. And the doctor says, well, did you take the medicine? And you go, yes. Did you take it when you were supposed to? Probably. Right? He is not make, his relationship with me is not based on any actual data. It's based on self-reporting. And I might be self-reporting crazily because I don't want to admit that I forgot to take the medicine or that that's why I'm still sick. So there's the doctor going, well, did the drug not work? Or is this guy an idiot? And, you know, how do you make that decision? Insurance companies have this same issue. And so what something like Cortana lets you do, especially when combined with something like IoT Suite, is to say, okay, I get it. Here's what really happened. If you think about an insurance company looking at, if I share the information from my Fitbit, then they know a little bit more about me. And they can from a financial perspective, they can make a better decision about what kind of a risk I am. They can also, you know, perhaps if my doctor has that information, he can put together a treatment plan that's better for me than the standard middle-aged white guy treatment plan, which I'm going to get by default in the absence of that data. So we see things like this extra level of intimacy with the customer or personalization of the solution being driven from these sorts of solutions. So think if there's anything else I really desperately want to say on here. The other piece of the analytics world is it allows you now to start having this progression of solution discussion. So if you think about stepping up to the bat for IoT, the first step can be a doozy. And so part of the reason that these end-to-end solutions are powerful is that there's a lot of inefficiency, there's a lot of waste in almost every system. And if you have live data and strong analytics, you can start making much more efficient business decisions. I was talking to a company that, it's one of my favorite IoT stories just because it's weird. They make a rat catcher. So I call it connected dead rat because I just like that one. But they make a rat catcher, and they have this problem, which is if the rat catcher catches a rat and nobody picks it up fairly quickly, especially if the temperature and humidity are high, you get the irate call from the person whose building it is saying it stinks in here. Right? So how do you solve that customer problem in the absence of data? Well, you drive around and look at the rat trap more like every couple of hours, because if it's 3 or 4 hours past, bad things happen. So you end up paying a lot of money to drive around and look at rat traps that don't have any rats in them. Right? So talk to this customer, and they basically added a pressure sensor and a radio, because those things are both really cheap now. And they were able to say, you know what, now we send a message to our back-end system and have the person go pick up the rat. Right? But the cool thing is that they dramatically lowered their operating expense, and they got happier customers. It's like, so my margins went up and my customer happiness went up. This is a good business to be in, right? So I think when you look at these solutions, that's what's driving a lot of what's happening. People do efficiency first and then do fancy stuff later. Because turns out the efficiency stuff is where the initial big chunk of money is. And if you're trying to sell your own company, the execs at your company, on why you should do IoT, it's like, well, the magic unicorns dancing scenario is not really that compelling because it's kind of hard to articulate. And it's hard to have the executive rude question and answer session about the magic unicorns, right? But if you say, you know, I think I can improve our efficiency of our maintenance fleet by 15%, then you have somebody's attention for sure. So part of this then becomes, how do you think about data and analysis and then kind of moving up the stack in data? You have some data that's like what happened data, which is useful. After the fact, it's good to know why the good or bad thing happened, but it's there's kind of a pretty rough gap between we had a horrible outage, And now we know why, but it did not prevent it from happening. Right? Then, you know, as you move up the stack on that, then it's like, okay, how can I really understand what's going on? How can I predict what's going on? And in some cases, how can I move beyond that to having the system predict what's going on and take action? And once you get to that point, you're in a place where the people who do these jobs can focus on the stuff that they're really good at. And you don't have the people who are doing these jobs doing the obvious, easy stuff. When we talk a lot about ThyssenKrupp, the elevator company. It's partially because they were one of the first companies that we spent a lot of time with on IoT. And it's partially because we have all the legal paperwork signed that we're allowed to talk about them. But they think about their IoT solution internally as a coach for their engineering teams. Because the way they perceive the IoT system is that it just makes their employees more efficient. So they're at this point, they are extremely accurate at predicting what part is going to be needed in an elevator repair. And so now when the technician goes to the customer, the technician doesn't have this really gross, we've all experienced this, I know, where the repair person comes over and says, yep, it's broken. I have to order the part. I'll be back next week. Meanwhile, you know, no dishwasher, no elevator, no car, no whatever. When the technician comes now, they are highly likely to have the right part based on the data that was coming from the device. Then, again, you save a lot of money because the technician doesn't go and then drive away and then drive back and then drive away again. But you also have a humongous difference in customer satisfaction because the customer's first experience is like, wow, that was fast. You know, he came and fixed it. He didn't come and tell me it was broken, which I already knew. Thank you very much. So that sort of, again, this is all data and analytics, but the thing that makes the combination of something like Cortana Analytics Suite combined with IoT Suite, the thing that makes that combination magic is that you get the benefit of looking at all the customer data for the last 5 years and combining that in real time with the personal specific data from one customer, one partner, one transaction. And you can make a lot richer calculation. A lot of what we do with Azure Stream Analytics is allow that merge point. You know, the solutions that we're building, a lot of them have the live data is streaming in from the devices, and it is being paired up with historical data. And that combination then is being used to drive insights. So a little bit more about Cortana. So if you think about this progression from data on one side to action on the other, you have devices, you have people, you have existing systems, you have custom apps, you have this whole world of data. You use something like Azure Data Factory to build a pipeline to construct a system where that data flows in a human or machine understandable format or both. So you can apply the kind of analysis that you need to apply to it that results in either, sometimes the end point of that analysis is a screen with a data scientist looking at it and going, you know, next year's car, if we replace this part, it looks like it's going to be more reliable than this year's car. Like that part is highly correlated with problems. Sometimes the output of that analytic stream is a command directly back to the device. At that point, you're pulling back in IoT Suite. But you have this progression. You have data sources. In this case, I have Azure IoT Hub listed as one of the data sources. That's for data that would be coming in live from the hub or from the hub's grandparent IoT Suite. The data factory for a complex flow of data from a lot of different systems. You store that data. Sometimes that data gets used immediately. Sometimes you're really storing that data for a long time. We have mining companies that gather seismic data, and they want to keep it more or less forever. Because 10 years from now, they might have a breakthrough in analysis that lets them figure out resources that were there that they didn't find the first time. And they want to be able to resuscitate all that old analysis data, rerun new algorithms on it, and see what new things they can learn. We see the same thing in aircraft engines and cars, where I want to gather the information, I want to put it somewhere cheap where I can keep it indefinitely, and I can do analysis on it in the future when I have some breakthrough there. So that, again, obviously we have Stream Analytics, we have Azure ML, we have the HD Insight family of tools. You can think about, well, at one point in time we would have called it batch, and I think now we call it cold path analytics, because cold path analytics sounds a lot cooler than batch. But it's really that same thing. I have some data, historical data. I want to go grind through that data, and I want to look for important patterns that I want to do something about. So ML for that. HD Insight or Stream Analytics for I have data coming in real time, and I want to do something with it. Then on the back end, things like Power BI to allow you to look at the data, to visualize it, to understand what's really going on. One of the big insights that we see in people building these sorts of solutions is they can actually see what's going on instead of going, I don't really know what's going on. I've created a system based on my best guess or based on the best guess of the person who had my job 3 people ago, and now we're still running our business this way. One of the things that we discovered with ThisEncrypt was just by really having the data centralized instead of it in the heads of a whole bunch of engineers who were not able to compare it, they were able to, at a kind of macro level, look at their solution and go, oh, there's something fundamental about our business that we just never realized because we never had the data where we could look at it before, where we could really visualize it. Cortana is another great example here. The integration of Cortana into these solutions allows interesting rules. It also allows some of these command and control scenarios, which are pretty powerful. Since my wife is not here, I will tell my wife story, which is if I had a Cortana thing in my house that I could say, did you unplug the curling iron or the straightening iron or whatever it is, it would make my life better. Right, because we are always 15 miles from home driving the other way, and she goes, I'm pretty sure I unplugged that really hot thing in the bathroom that might start a fire, right? And if I could go, Cortana, is the damn thing unplugged or turned off, or would you just burn the house down or whatever, that would be good, right? So there's a lot of these scenarios, again, where the difference between the live data and the historical data is really compelling. And then on the right side of this, really, then how do you connect to the outside world? So I always think about these IoT scenarios. There are really cool scenarios that are simple in one of these following 3 buckets, but most really compelling ones have some devices connected, some analysis, and some integration with back-end systems. Because even in the connected rat scenario, the analysis in there is 0, right? It's like pressure sensor equals 1, fire off the thing. I mean, the analysis path is non-existent. But even in that case, I need to go route a person in a truck to go do something. So I need to integrate with some back-end system. And I'll come back to this in a minute, but this idea that you have the machine-centric, the device-centric view of the world, that's where we lead with IoT Suite. You have the data view of the world, the analysis view of the world. That's where we lead with Cortana Analytics Suite. And then you have the back-end systems, which, the Microsoft product there is Dynamics, but in all cases, there's flexibility in how you build these things. So I talked about this a little bit already, so I wanted to put the picture up for those of you who are, more right brain, like me. But anyway, so we do consistently see this pattern. The first couple of times I saw it, I thought, well, okay, that's anecdotally interesting. But now I'm seeing solution after solution after solution, where maybe the initial view of IoT is like, I want to start on the right. Step one, I want to transform my business. Basically, I want to put the letters I, O, and T on a paper somewhere and then be magic and have all the problems of my company fulfilled, and it's all beautiful, and this is the dancing unicorn scene. You can get there. But by far the most successful pattern that we're seeing for getting there is starting out with, I'm going to do something quick that runs my existing business better. And then I'm going to build from there. For one thing, it gets you away from the giant-sized off everything in one. For the other thing, though, the pattern that we're seeing is that people are saving enough money in this first step that they can fund the stuff they want to do later. So again, I thought this Encrypt story again, just because I'm allowed to. But they saved enough money, and they put sensors on a whole bunch of elevators near the Microsoft campus because, hint, hint, they really wanted us to pay attention. So their first thing that they did was they put a bunch of sensors on those. They sat some people who'd been working on elevators for a long time. One of the engineers, one of the guys who leads this thing has been in the elevator business for 46 years. They sat some of those guys down with some Microsoft data scientists, looked at the data coming off those elevators, and they realized they could make there was a big operational efficiency that they could make. And it turned out to be many, many tens of millions of dollars that they saved just in that first step. So I was doing a panel discussion at a conference in Chicago a few weeks ago, and the ThyssenKrupp guy was there on the panel with me, and somebody asked him, he said, so you're paying Microsoft to do this work with you now. How did that impact your business? And this guy was like, oh, dude, we saved so much money that we could not only pay Microsoft, but we could fund all the IoT stuff we think we're ever going to want to do. And that's, you know, if you think about almost any industry, retail, I heard about connected linens this week, which I thought was another awesome scenario. Retail, healthcare, financial services, anything with the consumer in it, government, there's so much inefficiency in trying to project one-size-fits-all solutions across entire non-homogeneous communities that there's huge opportunity to differentiate there. And then, so like, again, the ThyssenKrupp case, the first one is they realized they had an opportunity to make a pretty change in the way that they do maintenance and save a lot of money. The second one, I kind of already mentioned before, I think, they found out that they could get the right part on the truck. So now that's another big efficiency win. It's also a big customer service win because there's really, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but there's really very little as annoying as the repairman who drives to your business and says, yes, it's broken. It's like, thank you. I knew that, but that's why I called you, right? And then for ThyssenKrupp, the more transformational one was they were able to understand their system so much better than they ever had before that they could go back to a customer and basically sell them an uptime guarantee. Because they got good enough at predicting the failure in advance and having the right part at hand that they got to where they could predict the thing was going to fail far enough in advance of it failing that they could have fixed it before it failed. So, you know, you fix an elevator at 2 o'clock in the morning when there's nobody on it is a lot nicer customer experience than you fix it at, 9 o'clock in the morning when people are screaming at you. So when we think about our investments in IoT, then it's this whole world of things where we want to be able to connect old devices and new. IoT is fundamentally heterogeneous. Like there's some Windows there, there's a lot more Linux there. There's a lot of, you know, ARM processor embed stuff. There's lots of real-time operating systems. The smallest device that I believe we currently support is a Honeywell thermostat that has 96K of RAM on it. And I can tell you cannot cram a lot of software in the 96K. And it's really delightful to watch kids right out of college who have never had to program anything small before, and you go, yeah, you have 96K to work with. Good luck to you on that. So it's like, oh, God, it's a trip to the past. So that connectivity of everything is really important. So that's IoT Suite. You know, that's how we connect the data. That's how we provide a secure connection to the data. We do a shared secret exchange so we know, yes, that data definitely came from that device. This command is definitely going to that device and only that device. Then into the Cortana world, how we think about gaining valuable business insights from that analysis. How do I run my business better? How do I create a new business? How do I think about this this transformation is possible. Sometimes it's like, I know how to change my business, and sometimes it's like, I'm really afraid that my competitor is about to change their business. Because if you think about that story I told earlier about the rat guys, I gotta get a connected dead rat t-shirt. The rat guys are now able to lower their cost structure a lot. So their competitors, they can either just keep that money, or they can lower their price and still have a strong margin and put a lot of pressure on their competitors. And that's one of the things that we definitely see, you know, when these efficiencies give you that ability to do things differently. A generation ago in the computer industry, Dell really, really hurt their competitors because they were the first ones who could figure out how to make a PC. They could sell a PC and make a little money on it cheaper than any of their competitors could make one at that point, which put them in a place where they could grab a whole lot of share, saying, yep, if you meet our price, you're going to lose money on every PC. Now, that whole thing became a cautionary tale for the whole world, I know. But then, really, until you can connect to the back-end systems and actually do something, even if it's inventory or part ordering or rolling the truck, it's not as compelling as it could be. So that becomes a big part of this, too. And then, you know, finally, even a relatively simple IoT solution is not a simple piece of software. Now that I want to switch to this, my computer went to sleep. Hold on. So you look at something like connection error is always a really good thing to see when you're about to do a demo. So even a simple solution has a lot of moving parts. You know, there's software that's running on the client. There might be a field gateway. There's definitely a cloud gateway. There's probably a streaming processor like Stream Analytics or HD Insight. There's a couple of different kinds of storage. Maybe there's ML. There's a Power BI dashboard. There's a lot of pieces in even a simple IoT solution. And so one of the things that we're investing heavily in is how do we make it easier to write them? How do we make it easier to run them, to debug them, to understand what's going on? So on September 29th, we released this thing called IoT Suite. And really, what it is a very quick way to create a complete solution. We had found that a lot of IoT deployments were having this gate burst delay at the beginning. Like, how do you explain to upper management what it is? How do you do a prototype, a proof of concept? How long does it take? And we were finding these really long cycles where somebody in the company goes, this looks cool. I'll be right back as soon as I convince my management to invest in it. And then they go away for an arbitrarily long amount of time. So the idea with IoT Suite, I called it the hero scenario inside the group. But the idea behind IoT Suite is it takes about 10 minutes from I want to create one of these solutions to it standing up. So we create these solutions. They are end-to-end solutions. Obviously, instantiates a virtual device because we can't auto-connect your device that we don't know what it is. But we create the whole system. And the idea is that you very quickly get up to something that you can have a conversation about, that you can learn from. You can see how the moving parts are. You can see what's possible. And then you can have these conversations about, okay, now I want to hire a partner to customize that solution, to build the, if it's in a hospital, I might hire a partner to write the hospital administrator's portal and to decide what devices go at a nurse's station and to decide what information the nurse needs to see. That's a very vertical specific conversation. We're not going to do that, but we set up the basic solution. We have a big partner network of people who get these things going, and really we're trying to accelerate this, we call it time to value. How quickly can you build something? So the first one of these that we released was for remote monitoring. And here are the pieces that are involved in this basic solution. So you say, I want to do a remote monitoring solution. You pick the Azure subscription that it's attached to. You remember how to switch the computer. I know this drew weird earlier. Oh, it drew even weirder now. Awesome. I was just teasing somebody about the demo gods being mean to them the other day, and that was clearly an error. Let me see if I can flip it to the other screen and do better. I can tell it's going to be bad. I can't even draw the background. Not ideal. Okay, well, I will dance for you for a moment because it will be awesome because I am so graceful. Huh. Okay, so We instantiate this set of resources, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 resources that we put in place here. And I'm just going to switch off of that because it's going to give me a seizure. So there's multiple stream jobs here. One stream analytics job is just taking all the data that comes in and sticking it in a blob because I might want to go back and mine that data for ML later on. One of the stream analytics jobs pulls the metadata about the devices out and puts them in a little console. It has a nice picture, which you can't see, that shows the where the devices are on a map, shows the alerts, shows the live data feed coming from the devices. There's another stream analytics job that calculates rolling windows on a 5-minute period. Okay, these are the these are simulated refrigerators. Like it reports the temperature and the humidity. And the nice thing about stream analytics is that you can write in just a few lines of code, you can write jobs that would be really hard to write any other way. Because what stream analytics gives you is a SQL-like syntax with the addition of a rolling window. So you can say, you know what, if I see two warnings in a 5-minute period, then I want to go do something. Or if I see one alert, I want to do something immediately. If I see a strange fluctuation compared to previous data, then I want to go do something. Those sorts of queries are really easy because of that rolling window concept. I was talking with a customer the other day. They're talking about the Internet of Bottles. They make wine and spirits, and they want to put tags on the bottles so they know what happens to them. And they want to do a stream analytics query to say, if the bottle ID is opened twice in any period that you really couldn't get from those, between those two places that fast, then I have a spoofing problem. You know, I have a piracy problem. It's an incredibly trivial query to write in stream analytics. If you were just trying to mine that out of a big database, that would be a pretty difficult thing to do. So, talking about IoT suite just a little bit more, when we think about the suite, we really think about the suite in the context of all of the things that the suite needs to provide. So the suite itself allows connection to the device, security for the devices, command and control back to the devices, an identity store with shared secrets for the devices, and connections to stream analytics. Later this month, we're going to ship one that's a predictive maintenance accelerator that provides ML to. It does simulated airline engines and does that analysis there. So one of the things that makes IoT tricky and makes Cortana tricky is you have to be able to do these things at scale. When these IoT type scenarios hit, they hit worldwide. I talked to a little tiny company that was making a device to monitor and treat glucose levels for people who have diabetes or pre-diabetes. It's a little company in a small location, but these things have to travel with the people, right? And people can end up anywhere. So even in their case, they don't have a lot. Their hyperscale requirement for pure scale is not very bad, but their geoscale problem is legitimate because they have to be able to have the thing work wherever in the world somebody might go on vacation with their monitoring. We also talk in the hyperscale world about global scale, about global volume. We are currently doing 1 trillion messages a week. It took us, I think, 6 months to get to 1 trillion messages a month. It took us 6 weeks to go from 1 trillion a month to 1 trillion a week. And some of the scale on these things is just amazing. And so so that scale thing is part of scale for us, though, is thinking about how you project the solution to where the person needs it. So a lot of things work great in the cloud. If you're in a highly regulated industry, maybe some of that data shouldn't go to the cloud. If it's a healthcare scenario, maybe you want the person's actual identifiable information to stay on-prem. And then you want to modify the data so you can't track the person anymore, upload the anonymized version to the cloud, do big data analysis on it. Maybe then you go back to the hospital, and only at that point do you reconnect that person to that record. Financial services, requirements from countries that information about their citizens not leave the boundary of the country. There's a lot of reasons that you want to do things locally. For those sorts of reasons, there's also reasons around things like sometimes it's just speed. You know, if it's a connected car, I don't want it to have to call the cloud to say whether or not it should brake or swerve around the person standing in front of it, right? If a connected airplane is the same way. We're seeing a lot of mining companies that are putting systems out in the middle of nowhere. You know, kind of by definition, oil wells out in the ocean are out in the ocean where there's not tremendous Wi-Fi connection. So mines are often in the middle of nowhere. I talked to a couple of Australian mining companies that have mines very far from anywhere. They have automated driverless trains that drive the ore to the coast, and that frightens me. But again, their connectivity is only satellite. So they want to do a lot of processing locally because they don't want to try to have to pay that much to upload huge amounts of data. So we are definitely investing in this scenario, this hybrid scenario, where we say, you know what, we're going to do all this stuff in the cloud. We're also going to support Azure Stack. So if you need a completely local instance, you can do it. And we're also going to support some scenarios in between those, where we say, OK, I want to train the ML algorithm in the cloud, but I want to run it on the device. Maybe I want to do video streaming on the device and only push up to the cloud the insights that I've gained from the device. We think of ourselves very strongly as an enterprise company. So we look at this world of problems around IoT with a uniquely enterprise bent, where we want to make sure that we are providing the sorts of services and products that enterprise companies need. Privacy and security are obviously hugely important for IoT. If you read there's a lot of articles in the press now about, okay, well, what happens when the IoT device gets hacked? Chrysler would love to get in the Wayback Machine and go back to when the security researchers called them and said, we can hack your car. And instead of saying, no, you can't, they would have said, thank you for helping us find this problem, right? Because then the security guys put a reporter in the car and turned the brakes off, right? So you have to think about this. We are relentless about the way we think about security of the devices themselves, of their connections, of the way you do role-based access control to say this group of people is allowed to make changes to these devices, nobody else is. The way we think about the connection from the device to the hub, the connection of the security of data inside the suite, inside the cloud, and then across the cloud from others. I've already talked a little bit about, well, a fair amount about Cortana, but really, the data is only data until you can do something with it. There are a lot of people that are doing IoT now, but all they're doing is they're gathering some data and storing it somewhere. And the only person who's making any money on the data is whoever's storing it for them, right? Until you can actually analyze it, find something in it, and then do something with it. And again, that's the connection to the back-end systems. It's really not all that interesting. We will continue this treadmill. There are hundreds of operating system variants, real-time OSs, protocols, emerging standards, and we are committed to continuing to build the richest set of connections possible. And part of that is really being more open than Microsoft has ever been in the past. You know, my team, hopefully nobody from Microsoft will beat me up for saying this, my team probably definitely spends more time with the Linux distros than we do with the Windows team, because that's where the market is right now in IoT. As a shareholder, I hope the Windows guys do great. But as a cloud business person, at some level, I don't care. Like, I understand I have to meet people wherever they are. If a company has historically written a lot of stuff in Java, I need to let them continue to use Java. If it's a startup and they're JavaScript and Node, that has to be a first-class citizen. We're starting to see a lot more code written in Python than we did not that long ago. I don't even have the Mesosphere icon on here because we're working very closely with Mesosphere. There's a big world of connections here. Nobody who does IoT can control what they connect to if they want to be relevant, because these are fundamentally heterogeneous systems that are going to be running a little bit of everything. If you think about the number of sensors in a building these days and the number of different systems that they're running, that's a big challenge for us and for everybody. So the kind of the summary slide on the Cortana world is you have data production and data consumption. And in between, you have different kinds of analysis, right? You have some data arrest or cold path analytics or batch where you're grinding across a whole bunch of data. It's not data that you have to deal with this moment, usually. It's like, if I'm making a prediction that this device is going to need maintenance about 2 weeks from now, it doesn't matter if that takes me 5 minutes to figure it out or 5 seconds to figure it out. If I'm deciding whether I'm going to turn the fire alarm on, that's got to, or dodge around the person who stepped in front of the self-driving car, obviously that's a very different computation. That's data in motion, or we call hot path analytics. But that idea that you have to have both of those, and you have to have the ability to go, okay, I'm going to take this data stream, I'm going to split it. I'm going to put some of it over here where I'm going to grind on it in a big, relatively offline process to find insights in it, how to make my next product better, how to predict an upcoming failure, how to predict customer sentiment, how to personalize something for this particular consumer. That's, relatively slower in turnaround than the, I have to do something right now. I have to, as this data is streaming, a person walked up to the camera, I'm predicting I'm estimating that person's gender and age based on when they walked up, so I can decide how to tailor my interaction with them. Or maybe I just completely recognize them. I saw a great demo the other day where, not only did it predict age and gender so you could sort of narrow down the things to offer in a retail setting, but it would also go, oh, Bob. Bob likes red stuff. Let's show the thing. He's looking at a table with pots and pans on it. Let's show him a picture of what they would look like in red, because he's bought a lot of red stuff in the past. So there's a lot of these scenarios that are happening. But again, when I come back to the whole kind of the summary on this, we think about a lot of really interesting solutions will have all three of these components. There are certainly a lot of low-hanging fruit solutions where you can really make a difference in a business with only one of them. But more and more we see the combination. If it's somebody who starts with devices, like the ThyssenKrupp people really did start with, the first thing they did was they connected devices. So that would be a company that we would say, IoT suite, start there. And then they started, once they had the data and started storing it, then they started analyzing it. And once they got to a point where they were doing a substantial amount of analysis, then Cortana started making a lot of sense for them, because they were doing HD Insight and they were doing ML. It was a complex system. Then, but again, eventually you got to tie it back to a human doing something in a lot of these cases. So you need to connect these back-end systems, parts ordering, inventory management, routing a delivery person, routing a technician. And so we really see this pattern too, where somebody might start with Cortana and then be doing a lot of analysis on static data and then say, you know what, I want to personalize that data, I want to bring in a live data stream. Then that customer might then add IoT Suite. But we'll see an awful lot of these solutions where those two things together make a lot of sense, partially because in both cases there's a business benefit for doing the suite. But the way I would summarize my position on this whole thing at this point is that there's a lot of hype there, but there is there. And we're starting to see people really changing their businesses, like finding big efficiencies by having real data and then analyzing it and making business decisions based on it. And so these next few years are going to be really exciting as these technologies mature, as the more and more customers and partners adopt. I'm personally looking forward to, you know, some of these connected city scenarios, because there's a lot, as we know, a lot of inefficiencies in those worlds. But that's kind of where we are right now. It's a very exciting time to be in the tech industry. I think I can take a couple of questions here, or maybe I should take them outside. But thank you very much.